Good evening and welcome to our Monroe City Council meeting for April 21st, 2015. The time right now is 7:16. We started a little bit late as we have a couple council members that are arriving late this evening. Ms. Lavelle, will you go ahead and call the roll?
Yes. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hedback, Ham, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. And before we continue, can you check the microphones real quick?
Point of order.
Yes.
She said the wrong person, Gary.
Gamble.
Oh, Gamble. I'm sorry.
The other G.
Gamble.
The other G.
So Councilmembers Hanford and Rasmussen and Gearing are not here right now. Councilmember Hanford is on vacation, and Councilmember Rasmussen contacted me earlier today to say that he would not be here this evening, and Councilmember Gearing said that he would be late. So that's where everybody is. And can everybody hear me okay from the microphone? Okay. All right. With that said, Boy Scout Troop 148 is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So please come forward.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two. Color guard, retreat. Audience, may be seated.
Thank you very much. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is a presentation regarding the citywide food drive. This is by Mr. Watkins. Mr. Watkins, thank you.
Good evening. How is everybody? I promised I'd come back when the citywide food drive was over. As you know, we took the month of March and actually some of April. And we had our citywide food drive. We had it within City Hall, and the fire department and the police department, Public Works, the whole group. And then we took it to the city. And on a Saturday, we were at all the grocery stores from 11 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. And we're here to kind of report to you exactly how that went. This is Riley Woods. He's one of the 12 Rotary Club Students of the Month. These folks were selected through an interview and application process. They're vying for scholarships, and so this was a project that they had. And Riley coordinated the whole city food drive within the employees, police, fire, and such, and he's going to report to you the results of that part of the food drive.
Thank you, Neil. First, I'd like to thank the city and the food bank for allowing this to happen, and Rotary for the opportunity. So, like Neil said, I coordinated within the city, police, city hall, parks, and fire. So the police department did the best with 118 volunteers. So, number one donator in the city. City hall with 122 pounds, the parks department with 92, and the fire district with 82. So once again, I'd like to thank the city for the support. Without you guys, the contributions would have been lower, and that's how we meet our goal. So thank you. And with the final totals.
So if you add to that, actually, the city total, there was $315 of cash donation as well. So $315 and 414 pounds in total from the city, and that's awesome. When the 12 students went out to the grocery stores, at the end of the day, they raised in cash $2,117.62.
Wow. Very nice.
And in food, 4,224 pounds of food.
Nice.
So the bottom line, in total, the food bank received $2,432.62 and 4,638 pounds of food, well over 2 tons.
Wow.
Nice.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
And so if you want, anybody says, tell me about Monroe, there's a good story to tell about this great town that we live in. So I thank you all so very much, and this speaks volumes, and it's really, really helping us in a very quiet time when it comes to food contributions. This is a quiet time for us, and this has really helped. So thank
awesome.
You all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Neil, and thank you to the entire community for pitching in and being part of this, and thank you to staff and I guess also to the fire district. Before I proceed, I have one item that I need to add to the agenda under announcements. I just became aware of something this evening, and because of that, I need to take action on this evening, so I'm going to beg your indulgence. We have among us an employee that has done a phenomenal job for the city, and especially over the last year has pitched in where we fell short on a variety of issues, and it was my intent to honor Mr. Feilberg on Thursday night at Community Awards, but he's not going to be there.
Oh.
And so this evening I am presenting him, with Jean, a certificate of recognition.
Wow.
For Brad.
Nice job.
Oh, no.
With a key to the
wow.
city.
Wow.
It doesn't open.
That looks wonderful.
Sincerely, thank you for all of your dedication to the city and for all of your hard work, especially in this last year.
Yeah, I would just like to thank you as well. Brad and I have worked together since 85 here, and my success has been because of Brad. Brad's been a great mentor, a great friend to me, and any time when I need extra help, whether it was a finance director down, HR manager down, whatever the position was, Brad was always there, every day for me. While we don't have an assistant city administrator here, Brad fills out role on a daily basis. So
yeah.
Just appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. We now need to move into an executive session for approximately
5 minutes.
Rather than have everybody leave the room, we are going to attempt to fit everybody into the jury room back there. And so we will be right back.
Wet marine.
Jim Slavell, you ready? Thank you. Okay, we are back in session. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gehring entered session during executive session about 5 minutes ago. And we are going to go ahead now and move on to our public hearing. This is AB 15172, Revised Ordinance Number 004-2015, amending MMC 1870, marijuana-related uses for final reading. And is this Mr. Osaki or Mr. Feilberg? Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Initiative 502 was approved by the voters a few years ago, which allowed the production, processing, and retail sales of recreational marijuana, along with the use of the City Council and the Planning Commission have been considering this issue for quite a while. Most recently, the buffers that were instituted by IA 502 were around public parks, schools, and daycares, amusement arcades. City Council and Planning Commission have been discussing expanding those to include private parks, the Everybody State Fairgrounds, and religious places, religious institutions, as we call them. the effect of that was pretty much an outright ban anyway. Currently, the only place that allowed it was at the end of 177th Avenue, which, as soon as the cabinet finishes the reclamation of the gravel pit and turns that into a city park, that will also be excluded from those uses. Even though the the Planning Commission recommended the rejection of the increased buffers, they did mention that if you're going to go that far, you might as well just ban it. About a month ago, the City Council directed staff to prepare ordinance that would modify the ordinance that had first reading and got the Planning Commission to change it from increased buffers to the tobacco ban to an actual ban. The city did another environmental determination, because the first environmental determination did only included the buffers. Environmental determination included the possibilities of buffers or ban. That was a determination of non-significance. The appeal period for that has passed. No comments were received on that, and the city has also duly noticed the public hearing to be held tonight to consider the revisions to the pending ordinance. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Brad, the Planning Commission, I thought it was a 3-3. I thought they didn't have a recommendation not to it. I thought it was a tie vote.
They were very wishy-washy.
They were split.
At the time, but actually I brought back findings and conclusions for them that supported the proposed resolution on our ordinance. And at that time, they did take a vote and came out solidly against increasing the buffer areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any? Oh, we are now going to go ahead and open up the public hearing, and we have Pastor Michael Hanford up first. Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is this on and everything okay?
It is on, yes, sir.
All right, I'm Michael Hanford, 19832 143rd Street Southeast, Monroe. And I wanted to bring a few facts from what we've learned from Colorado and what I've learned in working as part of the leadership team of the Substance and Alcohol Abuse Prevention Coalition, Monroe Community Coalition. First of all, the National Health Institute reports that after a 38-year study, that one out of six youth who try pot become addicted. One out of six. And we just had Dr. John from the Recovery Center across from Valley General or Evergreen Hospital at our coalition meeting. He's finally able, since the transition now is pretty well underway and completed, to come out to that and be a part of the coalition, which we're so thankful for. But one of the things he pointed out was that most all of the inmates, or whatever they're called, patients in the recovery center are being treated for addiction to marijuana. And like his whole, he is so thankful for what you guys are doing and made me really even more thankful for your action. In Colorado, since legalization, traffic fatalities have risen every year from 38% to 48% directly related to the pot legalization. And one of the things that I'm so concerned about is marijuana is addictive, and I just don't believe that people who've become addicted to marijuana and buy it potentially in Monroe would wait until they get out of the city limits or till they get out of town or get home to use it. It's like if you're addicted to something, you're not going to sit there and wait. You're going to use it because you're addicted and you need it. And so we don't need marijuana, recreational marijuana stores in Monroe. Then in Colorado also, a June 2014 survey of 100 Colorado school officers found that 89% witnessed a rise in marijuana-related incidents since legalization. Also in Colorado, the concept of marijuana is safer than alcohol, but the facts are not when it comes to driving, and officers are seeing people using both substances, which is worse. And one police chief shared that. And then in the first 6 months of 2014, 77% of the driving under influence of drugs involved marijuana. Accident risks doubles with any measurable amount of THC in the bloodstream, and it rises more when alcohol is added. Teenagers using marijuana are 3 times more likely to have suicidal thoughts than non-users. And that's, boy, we just don't need any more suicides in this valley. And then lastly, the sales of recreational marijuana in Monroe would send an ongoing wrong message to young people that using marijuana is safe and it's pervasive. We just don't want the youth of Monroe to get that message, and we thank you so much for all your work and your research and reading and listening and sometimes getting put down or whatever by angry people from whatever sides. But we're just so thankful for your direction and what you're planning to do or what you're deliberating on in this ordinance. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who signed up to speak is Carrie Boone. Ms. Boone, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Carrie Boone, 19921 Ravenwood Road, Southeast Monroe, 98272. Did you want that? I appreciate all of your service. I appreciate Pastor Michael's comments, and I appreciate seeing the scouts here tonight and the positive example of youth doing a food drive. I think that our community is awesome, and I think that there's a lot of great support for our youth, and that's one of the things that I love about Monroe. I am very concerned about marijuana being legal and the message that that sends to our youth. I think that as adults, there's a lot of confusion in what that means. Is it okay as an employer to still do drug testing with marijuana? Is it okay? How do we enforce this as police officers? How do we enforce DUIs with marijuana being the leading cause of that? And there's so many restrictions that have been added because it's legal. I think that it sends a message to our kids that it's okay, it's safe, we think it's fine. And there's a lot of work to be done in creating awareness for our kids, and I think that banning it in our city, the retail sale, is a great way to help send that message that it's not okay. It's not going to restrict people from driving their cars elsewhere to get it. It's still legal in our state, but in our community, it's a bedroom community, a community for families. It's a community where we support our youth. And I don't think the retail sale of marijuana has any place in Monroe. And I appreciate your concern and thought and study in finding ways to protect our youth and keep our community safe. Thanks.
Thank you. The next person that we have signed up to speak is Bob McGowan. Mr. McGowan, please come forward, state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Bob McGowan, and my business is at 14704 147th Street Southeast in Monroe in the Freilands Business Park. And I was back there taking notes in an effort to bring a coherent train of thought to the table, but I don't have any notes, so I'm just going to have to speak from the top of my head. I started into this fight against marijuana. Briefly, I'm a former drug addict and a former dope dealer. When I got out of selling dope in 1974, we were doing 400 pounds a month, and I overdosed on cocaine on February 6, 1974. So I have experience in the sales, the retail, and the of recreational marijuana. And I just want to thank God for delivering me out of that hellhole. And it is a hellhole. Addiction is bad. I think one of my neighbors, when I went through my neighborhood to find out who was going to stand with me, I'm the crime watch captain over Morgantown in Snohomish. That's the largest neighborhood in Snohomish. And I went with this pad of paper and I said, okay, are we going to allow retail pot in the city? And the majority of the neighbors said, no way, that's ridiculous. One of the ladies said that it's they call it the non-motivational drug, And the concerns that I have about marijuana as far as a business owner goes is when I post an ad on Craigslist and I bring someone in and I train them, during that training period, that's sunk cost. That's my investment into that individual to get them up to speed. The problem with the high potency marijuana nowadays is destroying that part of the brain, what we would know as aphasia. Aphasia, short-term memory loss. So here I am, I'm trying to coach a new potential employee, and so I have this sunk cost, and it keeps getting deeper and deeper as I try to explain, because they're not retaining the information. So my great concern right now is allowing marijuana into Monroe, because the economic impact on businesses is ridiculously, it's designed to cripple small businesses. I'm guaranteeing you that it is. And my understanding is medical marijuana, which is a farce in and of itself, because 90% of the marijuana that is sold out of a medical store is for recreational use. So it's a sham. That is supposed to be untaxed. That's supposed to be a medical thing. So I am not opposed to using properly researched marijuana for helping people with seizures. With my nephew, he's 40. He just slipped in August, and he's taken marijuana to get rid of his cramps. So there is a place for it, but I think it has to go through the proper agencies to be regulated. And if it is truly medicinal, let's put it through pharmacies. When I started into this, I found out some real strange stuff. I found out that there was only two individuals, when I talked to Commander Pat Slack last week, we had a cup of coffee, and there was only two individuals that stood against I-502. And it was him and a guy by the name of Derek Franklin. The rest was all pro-pot. I started looking into the numbers. The money came in from George Soros. The money came in from Peter Lewis, Progressive Auto Insurance. I heard a report of over $15 million from Soros. So what has happened here is Washington State voters have been sucker punched. We've been sold a bill of goods that this is great. Allison Holcomb is the author of Initiative 502. She had three intents when she wrote the bill. One was to decriminalize marijuana. Two was to take our law enforcement officers and put them on more important things. Three was to, I don't know what the third one is, you'll have to look it up. Anyway, it's in my notes. Anyway, so none of those objectives have been met. When I've talked to police officers, Chief Flood over in Snohomish, it takes 3 to 4 hours. He has to get a search warrant. The person has to have his blood tested, and it takes an officer off the beat for 3 to 4 hours. It's ridiculous. When I talked to Pat Slack, he said if somebody was smoking weed outside of Starbucks, he said it would be better if they were smoking a cigarette, because it costs about $1,200 to $1,500 to prosecute someone that's smoking weed, and what do they get? $150 penalty. So this deck has been stacked against us, so we need your help to stand strong against this maniacal, very well-planned marijuana legislation that's trying to be shoved down our throat from George Soros and company. He owns Drug Policy Alliance, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's the end of the of individuals that have signed up to speak. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward and speak on this proposed ordinance on this for this public hearing? Anybody else? Anybody at all? Okay. Seeing none, Council. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Gearing.
I move to close the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 5-0.
I'm just going to keep pushing your button.
Councilmember Gearing.
All right. Well, there's been a lot of discussion about this. First of all, I appreciate everybody coming again. I'd just make a few comments. We've heard from both sides. We've certainly, I think this is probably maybe the fourth or fifth, even the sixth time. And from that aspect, I think we've got a full sense of kind of where our community leads on this. And to that end, so I'm going to do with what we say is C2 here listed on here, which is I move to adopt ordinance number 004-2015-SUB, amending chapter 18.70 MMC marijuana-related uses, prohibiting the establishment of marijuana-related uses within all zoning districts of the city, entering legislative findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time while the same shall become effective.
Second.
Yeah, I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Councilmember, and this is now discussion on the motion. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I just a few additional comments. I know we've talked about this, you know, quite a bit. Obviously, as has been stated, you know, the action we're taking tonight is no sales, you know, within the city. It's still legal within the state of Washington. I still find it ironic when I look back at I-502. If I look at the results for the state, it was a 55.7 to 44.3. If that was a school bond, it would not pass. So
that
just
that is interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. So we have it's top of mind because we have a school bond right now, and you have to have 60% for passing it. And even within the city of Monroe, there was nothing over the 60% school bond. Exactly. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda. Okay. Sorry. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Each speaker is limited to 5 minutes, please. Do we have a sign-up list? There's nobody that has signed up. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on any item? Anybody? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda then. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Davis to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. The next item is new business number 1, AB 15-174, authorized mayor to sign amendment number 2 with DHC Consultants LLC for the utility systems plan. And I would assume this would be Mr. Feilberg. Mr. Feilberg.
From the point of clarification, it's actually amendment number 1.
Oh, did I say 2?
Cover sheet says 2, but on the sheet
okay.
It says 1.
Okay, thank you.
BHC was hired by the city to do the water and stormwater system plans as part of the comprehensive plan update. Due to some changes that were made in the land use designations of the comprehensive plan, they had to redo their modeling work locations of the higher density properties were relocated along the way. So they had to redo the process, and so that cost a little extra money, and so they were looking for an extra $63,000 to cover their additional costs due to changes in the land use designation distribution that was done as part of the comprehensive plan. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council, any questions? Okay, is there a motion? Councilmember Cuddeback?
Just a question, Brad, because it seems like 11% increase. How much time did they have to add on to the contract? I mean,
I don't remember off the top of my head. I have a letter from them that explained the amount of time it was done, but I don't recall that off the top of my head.
And it seemed reasonable to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I'll make a motion then. Authorize the mayor to sign amendment number 1 with the consultant agreement with BHC Consultants LLC for the 2015 utility systems plan in the amount of $63,400 and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback. I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move on to unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number 1, AB 15175, discussion draft social media policy. And Mr. Brazel, is this you?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've discussed this with Council several times in the past, and Council recognized the benefit of the social media as a tool to communicate with members of the public. Knowing that, we've done some research and looked at other policies that are out there and worked with the city attorney to go ahead and put a draft forward for council to review this evening. Again, it's just a rough draft. The city attorney and staff still need to put in some items that we feel are of interest. And we did discuss this at the Legislative Affairs Committee this evening, and I will turn it over to the chair for comment.
Okay. Chair, Legislative Committee, for comment.
Okay, on the, I was just...
Councilmember Davis.
So, we talked about that in the Legislative Affairs Committee. There were three people that were had applied and had been looked at, and we still need two more, but at least with three, we have a quorum here to move forward with I guess work on the salary commission thing. So, what else did we have to talk about? Social media.
Oh, we're doing social media. Sorry, yeah. This is just on social media.
I'm going
media.
Down my list here, and I'm thinking
it's okay.
So social media is a work in progress, and that's where we're at with that, and so basically we're going to have more stuff, more information come out as we do it. When we're going to this Facebook thing, it's going to be a test to see how things work out, and so. We're just sort of walking our way through it and trying to figure it out as we go. So it's going to take a little bit of patience as we do it. But this is going to be this should be happening next week or very soon. So, anyways, did you have anything else?
If I could add just a couple of points, as we discussed it tonight, there were some concerns that came up with my discussions with other people about social media, and one of them is the administration, people's access to an interactive site or to an interactive, like a Facebook page or something, limitations on whether or not what they can say and what methods of, well, can we restrict someone if they're using profane language or that kind of information? And I left these questions with Gene. He will be contacting the city attorney about that. Also, there was some discussion about the testing procedure rather than going to a straight go live, having a prototype and using some other source of people, which would be like city staff, to see if we can do appropriate archiving. So those were the key points that came up, and I'm sure we'll see the questions I brought up with the answers in subsequent discussion.
And those are some of the issues that we came up with this evening. And so basically, as we go through this, I'm sure there's going to be some more ideas that come out of this, more questions about how this is going to work and everything else. And so we're basically going to have to work through it as we move forward. And so that will be coming here shortly. We'll be discussing it. And that's all I had on that. So.
Okay. So we've been working on this for a while. I understand that that there are some additional questions from the committee about it. Councilmembers, do you have any feedback on the way this is written? It, in essence, each one of you would be able to have a Facebook account that would be dedicated to your service as a city council member. Mm-hmm. We would have a computer software program in place that we researched last year. Is this still the plan? That would copy everything that goes on to your Facebook page, your timeline.
That was one of the questions that came up, whether or not the archive would work. And as it was explained to us in the committee, the original intent was to go live and try to catch that data, mm-hmm. and see if it worked, as opposed to using a prototype, using city staff as the test.
As the test, you know. Okay.
So there's that.
Okay, and then
question. That was the question there.
Okay, and then in addition to that, so there'd be a computer program that would be copying everything, all the changes to your timeline and whatnot. And the program that we looked at last year, if you could refresh my memory, would go so far as that if you, acting under your council member account, interacted with somebody on somebody else's timeline or liked something, that would not be captured. Was that the limitation to the program?
Correct. And we'll be using SMARSH, which is currently our archiving system we have for emails right now. The concept of using a staff member as a pilot project is a good option, where we can go live on a city account, and the council members' accounts would also default to your city email address, because it'd be city driven. We could go under that pilot program and make sure that all those things could be captured. And some of the items that were highlighted in the draft policy spoke to exactly that. There's some unknowns of what the program's capability is. And until we actually go live on a account, some of these things won't be answered until we know exactly how the program will work.
Okay. And then finally, if I remember correctly, one of the things that I read in here was that if you were to comment on somebody else's timeline or something, that I think it had written in here that you would do a screenshot of it or something. Is that what I understood?
Correct.
I'm just trying to step through some of the elements that I saw when I reviewed this for the public that's here. So,
sure.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Gamble.
I know this, we've been talking about this a long time. This is based off of the vote that we took last year in regards to which way we wanted to go from a social media policy. If I remember correctly, though, aren't there some other cities currently using this, the technology that we're looking at?
There are some other cities. We've had difficulty locating policies at...
Which cities are currently using basically, I'm thinking of the archive features that we're concerned about. Which ones are currently using?
Seattle is a main user, but they have an IT department that operates it for them.
Okay.
And so they come up with a couple of different examples of what your Facebook page can look like, and then the council members choose from those examples. Mm-hmm. The Facebook page is built for them, and the IT staff basically monitors that and maintains the information for the council members, is how that works. What we had difficulty doing is coming up with a policy in a city that was our size,
sure.
that didn't have the staffing like we don't have to maintain it. And so that's kind of where we're at, is we're feeling our way through something that no other city that we know of currently that's our size with our staffing levels have been able to do. So we can get there. It's just going to take some time and get a policy that'll work.
And you mentioned from the software. So what are the other cities? Is it just Seattle? You said there was a few. You said Seattle's the main.
I don't recall the other ones off the top of my head.
Has Seattle had any instances? I mean, I get they have a large department. Has there been any problems with the system in and itself, its performance and backup?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thanks.
Are there any other questions or comments regarding the draft policy that's here? Councilmember Cutaback.
Just a clarification on the timeline, because I see on the agenda, or not on the agenda, but on the topic sheet, that discussion on May 5th. So what is the plan to do from now to May 5th? And are you gathering more information on the archiving system? Are we beefing up the policy? What's happening from now until May 5th? And what does that discussion look like? And how close are we to coming up with a policy that we can feel comfortable with that answers some of these questions? Because these have been questions for over, I would say, over 4 years, but that we've been kind of took the vote, it's been over a year, so.
The next steps after we've received council comment this evening, the city attorney will continue to go through the policy, add information that he feels is pertinent. Because of the discussion from the committee level tonight, I think we'll go ahead and activate one account. We already have SMARSH online. We can activate one account and do some pilot programming and see how that's going to work so we can better refine the policy. But our goal is to have a pretty well-defined policy for you on May 5th for you guys to consider and really dive into.
Okay, and by then we'll have some, this account will have been lived and we'll have some feedback on how that's doing by May 5th?
That's my hope. I don't know how long it takes to activate. I'll work with the IT staff and get that going immediately, if not sooner.
Okay, and then the public, for me, it seems like the biggest issue is making sure we have the public record request, you know, that being met, and the retention of the documents. That, to me, is the biggest issue. And so this, what we have in there currently doesn't give much of a procedure, exactly what we need to do. Are we looking at having that beefed up so a council member would know exactly what to do?
Certainly, that's...
I mean, I understand having it kind of general. It's fairly general, but having a more detailed guidelines on what to do for the retention piece of it.
Certainly, that was some of the feedback I was hoping to get this evening, what council would like to see in that policy. So knowing that, we can add some more detail on that and work with the city attorney to make sure that that language is in there.
Will you yield?
Yeah.
I'm curious. So, SMARSH, is it?
SMARSH.
SMARSH?
Say that 10 times.
Yeah, SMARSH is something else. I thought that was the archiving, so that if something is entered into onto the page, it'll be collected and stored, right?
Correct.
So we weren't talking about the copying to the email and going through that whole process of manually saving the data.
Yes.
The content. So that's not what we're going to be doing. And that would be your question, which is are we automatically collecting this data as it's arrived, as it's coming in, and is it being stored in an archived and retrievable method? And that is my understanding that SMARSH will be able to do that. I wish they'd pick a different name.
And so Ben's going to go ahead and elaborate on what the program can do.
From a public record standpoint, SMARSH will work just as it does today for emails. Records request comes in for your Facebook account. Liz, who's not here tonight, will have access to all the city records that she does today. Mm-hmm. And she'll be able to pull the records request from that, whether it's from your email or your Facebook.
Okay.
Twitter feed, whatever you sign up for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, having, are we going to have some type of a form that we fill out saying this is our, you know, that's what I mean, more of a procedure.
On what we do to save it?
Well, not just what we do to save it, but that we sign up, this is what we're signing up for, yes, we agree to this, or, you know, just more procedural things that we know exactly what we do, what steps we have to take it. That has to be a city email, that, you know, we are limited, we're saying we're only doing Facebook, or we're saying we're doing Twitter and Facebook, whatever. So there's some kind of a form I would think a council member would need to fill out to say this is what I'm doing, and maybe even sign off on it, because this is a policy or a guideline. It's not an ordinance, right?
It'd be just like we do with email. We have a sign-off for that, don't we? Yeah, policy.
I guess that's what I'm asking, is the procedural stuff like that. This is the general policy, but I see that we would need some more procedural steps, maybe an additional form that needs to be created, or some, maybe we already have it in the email, you know, for email that we then take for this. So I see some additional steps needing to happen.
Could I piggyback on you to ask Ben a question? So Twitter and all the others, everything else is included?
Well, everything's included for price, right? Whatever service we want to sign up for, it's essentially $10 per user per whatever fee, Facebook, Twitter, etc.
Okay, so a council member would be specifying that I will be including email, Facebook, Twitter, whatever
email
else comes
up.
That's already included?
It's already live, already running that. So it would be whatever social media that you want to elect.
And then each council member would have the option of deciding whether or not they're going to include themselves.
Yeah.
Use the other
paper.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and acknowledge our attorney, and then we'll go back to council members.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just in response to Councilmember Cuddeback's question and point, my understanding is that the technology that the city will be purchasing is specific at this point to the Facebook pages that will be established for each of you to be used exclusively for in your official city council member capacities, and there will be an automatic archiving function as part of that. And if that's the basic premise that the council is operating from, I'm not sure what the benefit of additional instruction regarding retention requirements and procedures would be for this policy, which is more about the use of the media, the content restrictions, the state law compliance issues as they relate to the OPMA, the PRA, appearance of fairness, etc. And just so I understand the council's direction as I'm working with the city administrator on this topic, is it the council's preference to see more in the way of retention instruction in this document?
Not if it's covered under that. I thought we were still debating whether that system could still do it, if there was still a question, but what I'm hearing from Ben and what I just heard was that this system seems to work, and so I guess I'm wondering where the question is then as far as, you know, the time that it's taken. If this system really can archive and seems to work and can do everything that Ben just said, I guess my question would be, what has been the holdup?
Again, I think that's why we want to go live with probably a staff account and make sure that if you comment or you'd like things, that it indeed archives it. I mentioned to the committee that we ran a test using my Facebook page, and we did a couple of items, and it was challenging to get those back, and we did that as a test. So with Smarsh, we have yet to go live on an account to see if it'll actually do what the vendor says it will do. And so that will be the next step that we'll work on between now and May 9th. Okay. We'll bring that back just to make sure. So if it does indeed catch everything that we believe it will, we should be good to go.
Okay.
A couple other elements that I would like to speak briefly on, then let's continue. First, the OPMA was an important thing also. Did you want to touch briefly on a couple of things related to liking one another's Facebook pages and whatnot?
Sure, Mr. Mayor, I'd be happy to. As the council is aware, state law prohibits you from having a meeting outside of an openly publicly noticed council meeting. So for that reason, it's important when you're using social media to not do anything that could establish a quorum for decision-making purposes. And I have not specifically looked at the liking issue per se. I don't know that in and of itself is enough to establish a quorum, but it does certainly implicate concerns, and I think the council should tread very carefully in that area because that is a cutting-edge area of open government law. But just just like when you are inadvertently meeting out there in the community, it's inappropriate for the council to engage in discussions about city business if more than a quorum of you are involved. You shouldn't likewise have discussions to that effect on social media. The actually the danger there is that there's going to be a very clear record created if there is a violation. So I would really strongly recommend the council, again, tread softly in that area.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. A couple things. One, I wanted a clarification on the extra form. When we got email addresses as a council member, we just got it. And it's kind of your choice whether or not to use it. And I kind of see it as the same thing here.
Okay.
Hey, you can also sign up for Facebook or Twitter if you want. You know, here are the rules. As long as we have a, which I do see it in here, hey, there, you know, Open Records Act applies. All right, mm-hmm. And we're all trained on that every year. It's our responsibility to understand. I don't think we shouldn't need extra explanation on that because we're trained on it yearly by requirement. We know what that is, and it's up to the individual council member to adhere to that. And the software and, you know, testing as soon as possible, understanding you guys have been working on it in accordance, so I certainly appreciate that. Test it. If it works, then I'm in favor of moving forward as, you know, get this thing rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it for a while. So from that standpoint, let's get it tested. If it works, let's put it out there. And maybe it's just, you know, Facebook for now until we can figure out some else. At least it's something. It's the direction that we voted on a year ago, and so let's get it up and running from that standpoint. I think we know the rules, and the rules are listed in here. We're trained on the rules, you know, from that standpoint. So I don't see anything different than a city email. It's just a city Facebook. The liking thing is no different than having that's just a conversation that you're having essentially in the community with someone. Again, it's your responsibility to, if you're actually having a discussion, to make that available if somebody requests it. And again, that's on you to do it. So do it. I mean, it's just the same. If someone asks for email now, produce the email. And we have someone who can do that because it's all through the city system. Since these will be run through the city, we're going to have access to all that. So to me, that just doesn't really seem like, that much of an issue. Since it's through city email addresses, it's going to be where the city will have visibility to all of it. They'll be able to respond to the records requests. And I think the liking thing, we start to get, you know, overthinking all the different Facebook mm-hmm. functionalities. I don't think that's necessary. The issue is being able to communicate in a social media way, which is what we've been talking about. We're in favor of it. We wanted to move forward. Here we are. Let's get it tested. Let's get it out. I was trying to understand the extra form. I didn't use one to sign up for email. It's just something that's available, your choice whether or not to use it as a council member or even if we went to planning commission to do it. So I guess I wanted to understand a little bit more, or maybe it's not a concern now based on whatever else that you've heard. I wanted to understand.
I mean, in my place of work, for email, for a credit card, for anything that we take on that is for a cell phone, we sign a document that says we've taken this, we've read the policy, we're using it. It's just signing off. It's an acknowledgement that, and that's all I was saying. And because this is still untested and we're still figuring out the like, and it just adds another layer of,
okay,
we've read the policy, we understood it, we're signing on for this. It's a one-page document that just gives the city a little bit even more cover, just saying that, yes, we've been trained on this, we understand it, we're going to use it, we're going to use it responsibly, we signed off. Whether we feel we need that or not, that I think is a common practice, and maybe not in government, but in business, when you sign on to get email that you're going to follow the policy and all that. So that's all.
Right. Anything else?
That's it for me. Thanks.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I had a question. Page 7 of 8, under special notes about text messaging and cellular phone devices, the highlighted portion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I had a question on why that was highlighted, and then two, I just wanted to make sure we're specifically referencing electronic devices in the context of text messaging. Is that what we're saying there? I just want to be clear.
Correct. And the reason I highlighted that is I've got questions about that. You might have seen in the paper recently some concerns about text messaging and how that is archived and the like. And so I highlighted it more for my research purposes, and again, how SMARSH interacts with that.
Okay.
And just to make sure that point wasn't lost, you'll see there's several areas where I left it highlighted. Those are areas that of interest that I need to dig deeper into just to make sure that we're in compliance as it relates to our archiving system.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that, and then also that it is in the context of text messaging, because we do use electronic devices throughout, I mean, you know, the meeting and tablets now with that we, you know, that we have, so. Okay.
City-owned devices.
Fine.
Right, like I'm using right now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, I just was like, wait a second.
Right here, so, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I wanted to make sure that it was completely spelled out.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So if the theory is, if we're working to bring in a final document on May 5th, was it? Are there any additions, deletions, any questions that you have? The idea being that this, what we bring forward next would be the final version of this. Is that doable from staff's perspective, legal?
I have a deletion then, sorry.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a second.
No worries.
Yes.
I think one of the main points of having this sort of a gut check discussion, counsel, is for you to actually look at the general format of the document and see if there's anything else in there from your perspective, content-wise or otherwise, that you'd like to see in the final version. I can think of a few things. I'd like to have the appearance of fairness constraints more clearly demarcated in the document rather than just some oblique reference. I think that's probably worth a heading of its own. Again, that falls under the general rubric of acknowledging that there are several bodies of law that apply in this context just as they apply in other contexts, and it serves more as a reminder than anything else. But as it relates to general content, my understanding, and I would appreciate council confirmation, is that for your official City of Monroe individual council Facebook pages, which is the thrust of this document, those will only be used for official business.
Correct.
There will be no other superfluous or any other type of social content that's communicated on that. And by definition, then, everything that you do on that, in that medium, will be a public record because it will involve your official functions. Because that makes it very simple for disclosure purposes. Mm-hmm. Every single piece of information on that Facebook page will then effectively be a public record if it all concerns the operations of government. Is that the council's intent?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think probably a clarification to that effect would be appropriate when we get down to the business of finalizing the draft for your consideration.
Okay. Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Gehring, and then Councilmember Cuddeback.
Actually, I think you just answered my question. Thank you, I'm done.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring, and then Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thanks, yeah, for deletion, the use of electronic devices paragraph that's highlighted, that I don't think that needs to be in there. We've been given city devices, and if somebody asks for something, you just give them your device. Mm-hmm. So, maybe to something to that effect. But otherwise, I don't know why the highlighted... quite frankly, if there's, if my wife's texting me, I'm going to take the time to text her back. That's just a personal rule of mine that has nothing to do with city business. It's on my own personal phone. There may be something going on that I need to know about at that particular time. That's a personal thing, but we all have lives, too. So I don't know what specifically that's referencing. A text message, we have, if you're answering some sort of, question or communicating with people via that in a city-related thing, that should be done only on your city, whether it's the tablet that some people received or the phone that you received, and then you can hand that over or something like that, I guess. But I'm assuming that's what that means, but just the way that this is written looks... it's just kind of electronic. It's just really, really generic. And I know that was touched on before. These are laptops. But just kind of the point there, I would... if somebody asks for something, it's a city-related business. You hand it over. So, to Councilmember Gamble's point, I was a little surprised to see this in here and what exactly does it mean. So, thanks.
Okay. I'm going to recognize our city attorney, and then to Councilmember Cuddeback.
And to Councilmember Gehring's point, I did not draft that particular provision, but my strong assumption from the context is that it's really referring more to a decorum issue on the council dais, much less about the technical aspects of that and much more about using electronic devices that could have a distracting effect to the business that the council is attempting to conduct. And That'd be my strong assumption, again, just based on the wording.
Yeah, please.
And I'm in my reading in that, because it was under the text messaging, cell phone devices, is that to guard against the perception or whatever the text messaging was happening up here during the discussion. Am I reading that wrong, or... Well, I guess
that's
what was
not
the
clear to me.
What's the intent? Because
I borrowed this from another city, but I believe that was the intent of it.
That's what I was reading. So I think really we could clear this up with really specifying, you know, if that, because I would concur with that, is that, you know, there should be no text messaging amongst here, and if that's what it's stating, then that's absolutely spot on. But that's not the way that reads.
Yeah, understood.
Okay.
All right, anything else, Jack?
No, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Councilmember Cutaback.
Maybe this is assumed in the policy, or I didn't see it, but I'm assuming that these are, that a council member can't have a closed page in their official capacity. Is that just assumed in
it's
here
assumed
that
it's an open page?
Open. Do we need to be more specific that it's an open public page, or is that just assumed in it?
We'll make it specific. It's not hard to...
Just curious.
It's not... But it wasn't intended to be by membership or anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like a closed...
A closed page.
Page, right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
No.
Okay.
Good.
All right. We, staff will work with our attorney to come back with this. Now, do note that the scope on this is council members. Is that, so this doesn't include staff, mayor, planning commission, and so on and so forth. So if there's interest in expanding the scope of this, please let us know. Okay, staff or council member Camp?
Well, along that line, if we just kept it with the council members more or less as a prototype, I can see it expanding out to city staff and planning commission and the mayor.
Okay.
Eventually.
Eventually. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Staff will update this for council members and come back with responses. And we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. All right, the next item, unfinished business number 2, AB 15176, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. And Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this presentation tonight might be a little more brief than I had anticipated, because what I wanted to do tonight was to brief you on the Planning Commission public hearing on the draft comprehensive plan and draft EIS last night, to give you a sense of what type of comments the Planning Commission got and what the sentiment of the public was. The issue is that there was no public that provided testimony last night. So we did spend some time on the comprehensive plan and discussed it and discussed some issues. But basically, in terms of the absence of testimony, I mean, there could be a variety of reasons. I've read your plan. The City of Monroe has done a great job at doing some upfront, robust public participation. And as often happens, when people participate up front, at this point, they'll do a check of the plan, and if they're comfortable with what's there, they won't participate anymore. Another reason, it could have been a gorgeous evening. Another reason, the plan's pretty lengthy. And when we sent out the notice, we said that here's a 60-day period that we'd really like to get your comments on the plan, and people might be taking the time, quite honestly, to be reading the plan and provide comments probably closer to the end of the 60 days rather than sooner. Talking with staff, though, the type of notice that the city gives here for the meetings is pretty comparable to other jurisdictions, so I'm not necessarily sensing it was a notice issue, but nonetheless, the Planning Commission continued their public hearing last night to their next meeting of May 4th, and what we as staff will do is look for other opportunities to provide notice and inform the public and see if we can get some public to attend the May 4th public hearing. So the consultant was there last night. Probably one item I just want to inform you of. One of the items that the Planning Commission wanted to see was a stronger linkage in the document between the goals and the policies. So they had asked the consultant to see what he could do to modify the community vision and goal section to demonstrate that linkage. And so the consultant provided a preliminary draft of a revised chapter 2. It actually works really well. So now you have the individual goals within that chapter. You have a list of policies that support that goals.
Thank you.
And even there, you have another column that ties those individual policies to plan elements. And I believe one planning commissioner said at one point in time, well, this isn't the entire plan. If you wanted to communicate to the public what this plan is all about, that chapter does it. And I don't disagree with what he said at all. So as that particular section matures a little bit, we'll bring it back to the council, even if the Planning Commission is discussing the plan in general. And I still want to be able to spend some more time with the City Council to kind of brief you, maybe sometime in May, maybe a little bit more time than these individual shorter briefings, to get you kind of teed up and ready for public hearings that you're going to have in June. So that's where we are right now. Planning Commission, again, so if, by word of mouth, if you think that anyone's interested in providing testimony on the comprehensive plan, Planning Commission continued its public hearing to May 4th.
All right.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I appreciate the update. As far as how much time that we have, I talked with a plan, got some feedback from a planning commissioner who was frustrated that nobody showed up. You know, what are you going to do? It was a nice night. With regard to our deadline of June 30th, and the possibility, you know, we've talked about it here before, actually asking for an extension. If we need be, it does feel like we are rushing it. The impression I got was that Planning Commission is going to be asked to make a recommendation to us on this without actually having seen the final product in its entirety before they make a recommendation to us. To me, that was kind of like the you got to pass it before you can see what's in it that we saw at the national level a few years ago. What's wrong with asking for even just a couple month extension? I know we had this, we heard a few things about grants, and I believe there is a neighboring city that has also asked for an extension and received one as well. Perhaps till the end of the year. I don't know if that's true or not, but at least that's what I heard. I think it was Duval. Why wouldn't we consider doing that just, even for a couple extra months, just so we can get it done? I know that's like planning heresy because it's after June 30th, but it just feels like we're cramming everything into the end. And I know we want to do everything we can to June 30th. What's the harm in just in even asking just for a couple more months?
Well, there's absolutely no harm in asking. So I'll tell you, Councilmember Gehring, this is what I'll do.
Yeah.
Because every jurisdiction in this state has someone from the Department of Commerce, Washington State Department of Commerce, that oversees growth management. There's somebody assigned to every jurisdiction.
Right.
I'll ask the question.
Yeah.
I'll ask the question and let the council know what the response is.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of hoops we'd need to go through. Just even, just a little bit more time would benefit everyone, even if more public wants to give feedback on it. But and I understand, trying to get it done and meeting the deadline as it's given. If there's any way, even just a couple months, I think we would. It's once every 10 years. It's an important thing, and it just feels like we're really slammed here at the end, and we'd benefit from it. So I appreciate that question being able to be asked.
No, I'll ask the question, definitely.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from council? Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action number one. This is AB 15177, ordinance number 007, 2017, water sewer services outside the city limits for final reading. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you, sir.
Sewer makes them run.
They had to leave at 8:30.
Oh, no worries.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
The City Council extended the city sewer service area to extend to the entire urban growth area. Part of the urban growth area is outside of the city's water service area, and there's currently a section of the code that requires the city's water service before you get on the city's sewer service. There's been some recent requests for some development in the northwest corner of the UGA in the Roosevelt Ridge area that going to be able to do that. Their densities that it's compliant with the county and also zoned in the county without sanitary sewer service. So we had first reading last week. An ordinance to allow the extension or the provision of sanitary sewer service without sanitary the city's water service if they have a compliant with a couple things, which is basically getting an additional water meter and signing an agreement with the water provider that allows the city to turn off the water if they do not pay their sewer bill. That's currently right now in our utilities. That's how we enforce our utility payments, is that they pay for the recycling, then garbage, then storm, then sewer, then water. So the last thing, they don't pay all their money, water gets shut off. And that's the one most people think about. Could be possible to turn off their sewer system, but if you, you know, plug their sewer system or a valve there of some sort, you still, they still have the problem, possibility of taking water in, and if there's no place for it to go, then you end up with public health issues of backup sewage and that kind of thing, which makes a big mess. It's kind of unpleasant, so it would be the best around to have the ability for cities to shut off the water service for no payment of the sewer. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yes, we've talked about this a couple different times, and seeing that there's no changes made since April 14th, and I completely concur, we got a way, have to have a way to deal with non-payments. I'm going to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 007-2015, amending Chapter 13.04 MMC water regulations, rates, and charges, and Chapter 13.08 MMC sewer system regulations, clarifying requirements for sewer utility customers that are not connected to the city's water utility system, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
Yeah, the first from Councilmember Gamble, second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. Brian, just a quick question. The cost, that it's extra work for a city employee to go read the meters, is that offset by the money that will be coming in?
Yes.
For these, so it's actually, it'll be in our favor. Because it isn't 1.5.
Actually, double for sanitary sewer.
Double for sanitary sewer. So there will be extra work, extra employee time, but it's still a net positive for us because of that. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Any other question? Any other questions, comments, discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Great. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is AB, final action number 2, AB 15178, resolution number 008-2015, amending fiscal policies related to the city financial reserve requirements. Ms. Nelson.
I got up a second ago because I thought I was up. But the reserve policy that was adopted in 2012 requires the general fund to restrict 17% of the operating budgeted expenses for to hold out for emergencies. It also requires the contingency fund to hold out a minimum of 8% of the general fund's operating expenditures for restricted reserves. The contingency fund is created to take advantage of unforeseen events or opportunities. It's for one-time items, not ongoing operations. And so council has used it to pay for various things, and it has been dropped below the restricted minimum. And so in order to have our practices be more in line with our policy, or our policy more in line with our practices, it was the Finance Committee discussed it, and we're thinking the proposal before you is to change the, on the contingency fund only, to change the word policy to goal regarding the minimum. And if the Finance Committee wants to chime in on that,
Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, we discovered at length in the Finance Committee, and we also presented in our report the last time, that, you know, I think this is in the best interest. This is exactly how we've been utilizing the fund. I think the most important piece is that every time we make a decision on an expenditure, that we put something in place to pay it back so that we were getting back to that 8%. And that's what we have done, and every time we have spent it, it's currently what we have in place around the expenditures that, you know, we've just allocated. And so that, you know, this would be more in keeping with the way that we are using it, which is still just as important to make sure, well, to everybody, you know, and when we were talking about it in a committee, to keep that level of focus there and to always want to strive to have it at the 8%, but then not to limit us to be able to spend that money when we do know that we're going to have, you know, fund sources in order to pay it back. So that was the thinking, that it would reflect current actions and then also not limit us going forward. So, so with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 008-2015, amending the city's adopted reserve fund policy by clarifying provisions concerning the city's contingency fund.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move on to council member reports. Legislative Affairs Committee, we'll start with that. Council member Davis?
So, let me repeat myself here. We discussed the salary committee, and that's, or the commission, and that's what I was referring to earlier. There are three candidates that had applied and are being looked at, and we need five total, but three does equal quorum, so we can actually, if we confirm those, we can actually start moving ahead with the business at hand for them. We discussed the social media issues, which we discussed this evening, and the other thing that we talked about was looking into hearing examiner to handle issues.
On appeals, one of the items that we discussed is setting it up so that the hearing examiner becomes the primary person to handle appeals. I guess some of the local cities are doing that, as opposed to I think having an either-or option. It's one of the things we're going to look at. There were a couple other.
So we decided to add that to our work plan, and we'll be looking into that and bring some more information to you on that. Just off the top of my head on that, it was an unusual circumstance that we had here in our own body, having an appeal by a council member, having a hearing examiner looking at some of these things might make some more separation. And it might be something that we would find worthy of looking into and pursuing. So, anyways, we decided to do that, and we'll get some more information and bring that forward to you at a later date. So, and I believe that was it. Was there anything else?
We asked for some visitations. I'll see if we can get our legislators to show up.
Session is closing here within a few days. We thought it might be a good idea to get a post-legislation legislature briefing, as we did get the pre.
And also reaching out to some of the local cities and see if we can get a representative to stop by and discuss things that we haven't got, things we'd like to discuss. That's it.
Great. Thank you very much. Report out then from the P4 committee. Committee chair?
Chair.
Oh, who's the committee chair?
It's Councilman Rasmussen. I thought you did last week.
We did last week.
Would you be able to? You weren't here.
I missed the last
so we don't have anybody that was here from P4 then. Okay, so we'll do a P4 committee report out.
Could I ask a question?
Last week.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question, maybe Legislative Affairs knows this, or maybe the mayor. Any word on our capital requests? Were they included in the Senate and the House budget, and was it in the governor's budget? No.
They were not included, as I understand it. However, there was the skate park was included in the capital, which was not something that we made an ask for, correct?
Correct.
So the skate park was included in which fund, do you know?
Senate.
No. Oh. Which fund?
Capital.
So that was included in the Senate budget, not the House?
The Senate proposal is what
that's
I understood.
My understanding too. Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll keep, get notice on how that's going and get an update on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that came out last week.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I wasn't here. Thank you.
It's okay. Are there any other? So for the P4 committee, the other item that I know was discussed was a draft letter regarding the fairgrounds master plan. Is that something to report out on tonight or bring back next week?
We'll bring it back next week, but we have drafted a document, we've proofed it, and we have some edits to make, and then we'll come out.
All right, let's go around the horn on council member reports. Council member Gehring.
Thank you. Last Friday, I had the opportunity to speak at Park Place Middle School. I was invited to come. They were interested in what's going on at City Hall, and in particular, they were interested in our public hearing topic tonight. and what exactly that meant for eighth graders. And so it was some very interesting questions. I think the general impression was whether or not the city council was going to ban marijuana in general in the city of Monroe. So it was fun to provide some clarification and have a map up and say, here's what the council was considering doing. But fun to see our young people involved. They're interested in a number of topics. While that was the main one, there are a lot of topics that they're interested in. So I look forward to going back at some point. But it was fun. A very engaging class. I don't remember being that engaged at an eighth grade level. So kudos to the teachers at Park Place who are getting kids engaged with what's going on in their town. It was very cool. Thank you.
Nice. Yep. Councilmember Gamble.
It was a very eventful week this last week, and a lot of excitement this last Saturday at the parks. The annual jamboree for Sky Valley Little League was a huge success. We haven't had weather like that in a long time between the two parks, and they're probably the most vendors that we've had on site for the event. A ton of hot dogs sold. A ton of wood fire pizza was there. There was some local vendors that were there that did very, very well. Lines were around the block, and a great citywide picture was taken. We had a drone flying over the fields that was filming all of the kids running around on the diamond. We had Webley from the Aqua Sox, that was out. It was just a great day of baseball and showcased our park system. It was great having the pictures were taken at the gazebo, and then you had the Sky Valley Parks over. We had games going on, and then the events and the ceremonies were held right there at Miracle League Field, which was kind of the crown jewel, and that's where all of the vendors were. A whole host of vendors, and I know that the Mineral Monitor did a nice article advertising the event, so appreciate that. That'd be the official newspaper for the city of Monroe. They did a great job advertising that the event, and it was just a fantastic turnout. Had lots of vote yes school stuff out there, which was great to see. I attended a there was some doorbelling and stuff up in the farm on Friday. That was great to see, with a lot of folks from the community just getting information out there, and most of all just getting people to vote regardless which way they're going to go. So that was fantastic. Let's see, a little person, you brought up Park Place Middle, so this will be just a family oriented deal. My daughter was elected ASB president for next year, so Madeline Gamble be ASB president next year, so that was pretty cool. She was pretty excited, and I'm proud of her for putting herself out there. And then on another note, this Saturday, April 25th, this will be company related for me, but is the annual Comcast Cares Day. It's the 14th annual. It's the single largest corporate volunteer day in the country. Last year we had over 90,000 volunteers across the country. This year will be that or more. And one of the projects is right here in Monroe that we've selected, partnering with Boys and Girls Club. There will be over 200 volunteers here partaking in projects, but in a lot of painting projects at the Boys and Girls Club in Monroe. Start time is 8:30 a.m. The team picture 8:45. Work begins at 9. They'll be going from about 9 to 2:30, and just a ton of work that'll be going on over here at the Boys and Girls Club. So that's about it.
Nice, Councilmember Davis.
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Cutterback.
I feel like I've been gone for a while. In Chicago for a week, but went to Everett Community College Foundation breakfast this morning, and so that was good. Heard from Mona Locke, ex-First Lady of Washington, so that was a good event. And then Miracle League, just for those of you who are interested, May 2nd is the kickoff day for Miracle League, so that's special needs baseball at the Miracle League field. And there's three games, so it'd be nice maybe if the city got a buddy day. I think that would be exciting. So, yep.
Fantastic. Thank you. Fun. Let's go out to staff, Ben. Okay, Dan.
Nothing.
Dave. Chief.
Yes.
early this morning. Some of you may have seen it on the news this evening that the city of Monroe's SWAT team, commonly known as the North Puget Sound SWAT team, was involved in an arrest where 23 individuals were federally indicted for drugs, selling drugs and guns. And they were, our SWAT team is one of a number of SWAT teams that are used to take these individuals down.
Wow.
It was quite successful. And after, I forgot to tell you last week that the previous week I was gone, April 7th, because I was in New Orleans studying very hard at this conference that we had. And it was two of the officers went with me. It was an domestic violence conference, and we got quite a bit out of it. And this was paid for by a grant at Snohomish County, yes, that the city there that administers. And we've been successful in sending people to these conferences for since I've been here about the last 13 years, and next year we hope to send a couple more officers to the conference, which will be in Washington, D.C., which will be a lot of fun for them. They should put some out in our classes and be able to sightsee there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fowler?
Just that the Main Street Plaza project is underway.
So can you go through a couple of things, just a little bit more detail? I know that that today, via email, there was a brochure or a PDF that was sent out giving an update. Will that be occurring every day?
I've got another one already this evening.
Okay.
So unless nothing's happening, so it's an idea of what's going on. You know, we're going to be digging that kind of stuff, so hopefully to give people as much notice as possible about what's going on down there.
Okay. And when I drove through last night, I noticed that there were signs up on the south side of East Main. The sign said no parking from yesterday until June 30th. I followed up with staff this morning, and those signs have been removed. Of course, they're not going to be closing one side of Main Street for 3.5 months, and so instead there's been a chain link fence that's been put up so that they can begin demo
tomorrow.
And then the fence was set up in a sort of a double fence where they're basically corralling off the area where they're going to do the work so that you can still pass by on the sidewalk. So we're doing staff is doing a lot to make certain that people understand that there are places to park, that we are maintaining access to the front doors of the businesses. We're trying to make certain that the signage doesn't suggest that something's going to be closed longer than it really will be. Also, the open for business signs weren't up yesterday, but they are up this morning. So if you hear any concerns, any questions, please get a hold of me or Gene, and then we will follow up with staff. We want to make certain that we're doing a great job of communicating and that we're in and out as quickly as we can. So we'll go ahead and we'll follow up with Brad or Jim or whomever, but does that work? Okay. Does anybody have any questions right now? We'll have an update every week in council. It might just be a couple minutes, but okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
The question, so when it's done mid-August, or what's the timeline?
Lewis Street and East Main has to be done by June 30th.
Okay, but then
West Main, yeah, which is going to be done,
yeah, August 20th. Okay, but that's the whole of Main Street by August 20th. So have we talked about doing some kind of a city mini, like,
yes,
opening? Okay, so I missed that while I was gone, too.
So,
okay.
So the thoughts...
preliminary.
I don't know what that means, but...
The thoughts are this, that we will have... I don't know if we're going to do a separate one for each phase. We may just wait for the entire project to be completed.
Yeah.
Having this completed August 20th, roughly around there, allows it to be completed in time for the Fair Days Parade.
Okay. So making
which
that
is the following week.
Okay.
And so the thought process there is that I would work with staff and chamber and council, and also with our state representatives and senator, since they've contributed by way of the Department of Ecology so much to this project, to have an invite and have an opportunity for a more formal ribbon cutting that would be part of the Fair Days Parade at the end of it or in the general vicinity of that. So I don't know that we're going to do a separate one for one side and then the other. And
I would suggest we wait till the end, but...
Yeah, that would be my preference.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. All right, any other questions on that project? Everybody's checking their... Sorry. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's come to me and then to Jean, and then we have a need for an executive session to update you on one item. So for me, on Thursday last week, we did interview three people for the Salary Commission. I was impressed with the three that we interviewed, and we will probably be bringing forward next week, as early as next week, those names. Upon their confirmation, they are required to come up with a decision by the 91st day after their confirmation. And so I would expect to have that before you by Tuesday next week. Also on Thursday, we had our open house. We had a lot of people attend the open house to go over the Gateway conceptual designs. You'll see those in May, and also come in to talk about and listen to people about the Main Street Plaza project. On Saturday, I went to the Evergreen Rally at the Evergreen Hospital, where they had a number of booths out there and people doing things to raise money for charity. I then went to the Great Cloth Diaper Change, trying to break a Guinness Book of World Record for changing the most number of diapers changed at one time, and this was a worldwide event.
Did you participate?
I did not. No. I was required to sign a piece of paper. So that was at Grow With Me Boutique, and I wow. appreciated them putting that on. Today, attended the Everett Community College breakfast this morning, and then I was interviewed by the Everett Community College this late in the afternoon. They're having some sort of event in May on a Tuesday night, so we will be here. That'll be here for the East County campus, where I believe it's a fundraiser. This coming week, we have on Thursday night Chamber Community Awards, and I've already handed out one of the two here tonight. Congratulations, Mr. Feilberg. We have the lip sync on Saturday, and then Councilmember Hanford requested that I let you all know about a ribbon cutting at the Treasure Chest at Cascade. This is a ribbon cutting for the new clothing closet. That'll be at 1:30 on Sunday, and I will be there for the ribbon cutting. So I would encourage you all to attend as you're able to. And then lastly, we've got our monthly mayor's meeting on Monday in Marysville. And the people that are going to come to speak are the BNSF, so the Burlington Northern Railroad folks. They'll give me an opportunity to see who they are, and maybe there'll be an opportunity to talk about silent train crossings or something, but I'll let you know what they're there to talk to us about. And so that's sort of a rundown on some things from me. Jean, shall we go ahead and go over the next week's agenda, any report you have, and the extended, and then we'll go into exec.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, I just want to reinforce that the interviews we had for the Salary Commission were really good. You're building the team. This was a good group because they came from all walks of life, so that was pretty interesting. Having sat on many interviews, these three individuals were definitely worlds apart, which would be great for this team. Council has received numerous emails in regards to Bear Mountain.
Yeah.
In the morning, I will be sending out a response email to council, and then I will respond to each and every one of those citizens as well. I've also been in communication with the fire department. They've been receiving emails as well, so I will brief the chief on a response that's appropriate. The draft agenda for...
Gene, can I ask, I'm sorry.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Should we not... is there instruction from council? I was forwarding you all those without really reading them because I didn't know. I wanted to make sure it wasn't some sort of a quasi-judicial thing like it was last time. I don't think that it is, but you were wanting perhaps us to wait for you to do your thing first before we respond?
I will find that in the email after.
So you're going to tell us about it. Very good. Never mind. Okay.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Sorry, well, maybe you said that I didn't.
I think I asked this earlier. Yep. There's no problem with reading them, reading the emails we've received, right?
That's correct, Council.
I don't know.
Mr. Lowe?
I've been hesitant.
Exactly, just based on what you said.
I believe that Mr. Brazel will be providing an email, as he indicated, tomorrow, outlining the legal concerns and the suggested approach. But the short answer to your question is there's no problem with reading them at this point. There is no longer a quasi-judicial proceeding pending before the Council, and for that reason, that type of ex parte communication is not prohibited anymore. There are some practical and legal concerns that are implicated if you respond to them, and Mr. Brazel will be touching on that, but should be no issue, no concern with reading them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Mr. Brazel.
Tuesday, April 28, 2015, draft agenda. Other announcements and presentations. We'll have Evergreen Health here. H3O will also be here. The mayor will be reading a proclamation for the National Day of Prayer and for Building Safety Month. We have the consent agenda under new business. We have authorized Mayor Pro Tem to sign contract amendment with Snohomish County HSD for the 179th Avenue sidewalk and storm improvement project. Discussing the state legislative lobby services. Under unfinished business, we'll be discussing the 2015 comp plan update again. Draft agenda for May 5th, 2015. Thank you.
Any discussions, additions, deletions regarding the agenda for next week? Okay, none? Extended?
The only question I have on the extended agenda, we've requested that the fire department be here to give an update, and what the chief is prepared to do is kind of go over their financial forecast model. Is there anything else the council would like him to bring, or any discussion topics that you would like to hear on?
From the fire chief?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they have...
Go ahead.
Well, just do they share their data of, like, their calls and fires and causes? I mean, is that something that interests me, to know what is happening in the community as far as the calls they receive and that type of stuff, if they have that type of data?
Perfect. I'll put that request in. Thank you.
Yeah, that's operations response time.
And what was the... rescued from trees.
Yeah.
That goes back to the streets, the postal, numbering the streets.
On May 26th, we have two presentations. One is tentative. I'd like to minimize having two presentations in one night, so my proposal would be, since the Boys and Girls Club is tentative, to move that to June 9th, and we would not have an attorney present.
Okay.
And like that, we don't have two presentations in one night.
Yeah.
Those are the 15-minute presentations. We're looking at May 26th.
Okay.
On the extended.
Because we got two next week, too. So.
Oh, right. So yeah. Are you moving one of those?
Oh, well, yeah, one of them's H3O.
It needs to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's a project that we're working on.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. When I have people just coming in to give presentations as opposed to something like H3O that we're working on,
I know. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the extended agenda? Nope. All right. And there being nothing else, we do have the need for an executive session. And the executive session will be for approximately 10 minutes. Okay.
Huh?
Okay, so the executive session will be for 5 minutes. And this is pricing of property, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection C, with potential action to follow, certainly action to adjourn. And so we are now in executive session.
Stevens pass. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, that is, we're now out of executive session. Councilmember Gamble.
And move to adjourn. Second.
Okay, I have a first to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Gearing. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Have a great evening.